Now the time for debating is over for President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. The two had their second and final debate last night at Belmont University in Nashville. In a more civil affair than their last encounter, Trump and Biden talked about the coronavirus, healthcare, immigration, potential foreign conflicts of interest, climate change, and other issues. And with voting in progress, Election Day now just 11 days away, we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What did you think of last night's debate? Were there moments that stuck out to you the most? What were you hoping to hear Trump or Biden talk about? What issue matters most to you? Do you have thoughts on the setup for the debate, the moderator, the muting of candidates' mics? Is your mind made up on who to vote for? Or are you still on the fence? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. Tim, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, before we get into some of the content of the debate, do you think that voters were better served this time around than the last one in terms of learning about what the candidates might do as president next time around?
Well, the short answer is yes. With the first time around, of course, it kind of devolved into a shouting match between the two candidates, and so we didn't really learn much in the way of substance. And this time, because of a combination of the threat of muting their microphones, and I think the candidates just did a better job of adhering to the rules, that we're able to dig into things a little bit more. And it was nice enough for them to have their 2 minutes of uninterrupted time where they could kind of go through their talking points. But then there were some lively exchanges, nevertheless, where you could dig in a little bit more and get them off those talking points.
At this point in the election, do you see a debate like this, or I guess any debate short of, I guess, a total disaster for one of the candidates or another, moving the needle much?
Well, most people will say no, given especially this time around, because so many more people have voted early than is usually the case at this point, that there aren't that many undecideds, and a lot of the people have already decided they're just, if they watch, that they're basically just rooting for their candidate, and so it's not going to change their mind anymore. And like you say, a lot of times the only real thing that you get out of a debate is whether there's some big faux pas that some candidate makes that all of a sudden sways some voters. But like I said, I think this time that you dig into the substance a little bit more, and so I don't know, at least I found it a little bit more interesting than usual.
One thing that Republicans are highlighting about former Vice President Biden is his comments on energy and oil. And it's something that might not sway a lot of voters, but it might sway enough voters in tight states. What did you think of that part of the debate and the impact it could have?
Yeah, that's certainly something that Republicans emphasized at the time it happened. And no surprise there that, you know, the candidates' staffs are right there on Twitter and elsewhere kind of going along with whatever's being said. And when Biden basically suggested that he wanted to phase out the oil industry and also said that he hadn't said he was against fracking, that boy, you know, Twitter lit up with links to situations one way or another. And like you say, in some states like Pennsylvania, which Biden emphasizes where he's from on a fair amount, or, you know, West Virginia or some other states, Ohio even, that you have the combination of energy just in general, fracking in particular, that those are important for people for a lot of jobs. And that's something that we'll see if it makes that much of a difference, but it's certainly something that Republicans are emphasizing to try to sway those potentially undecided voters.
We're talking about last night's presidential debate. Tim Hagel with us from the University of Iowa. You can join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. I want to give a listen to an extended bit, including both candidates here, talking about the COVID-19 pandemic, the possibility of more lockdowns. We'll hear what President Trump had to say, followed by former Vice President Biden's response. Here's a listen.
We have to open our country. We're not going to have a country. You can't do this. We can't keep this country closed. This is a massive country with a massive economy. People are losing their jobs. They're committing suicide. There's depression, alcohol, drugs at a level that nobody's ever seen before. There's abuse, tremendous abuse. We have to open our country. You know, I've said it often. The cure cannot be worse than the problem itself. And that's what's happening. And he wants to close down. He'll close down the country if one person in our massive bureaucracy says we should close it down.
Vice President Biden, your
response. Simply not true. We ought to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We ought to be able to safely open
but when they need resources to open. You need to be able to, for example, if you're going to open a business, have social distancing within the business. You need to have, if you have a restaurant, you need to have plexiglass dividers so people cannot infect one another. You need to be in a position where you can take testing rapidly and know whether a person is, in fact, infected. You need to be able to trace. You need to be able to provide all the resources that are needed to do this. And that is not inconsistent with saying that what we're going to make sure that we open safely.
So we have that back and forth there on COVID-19, a big issue in the country this year. What do you think about what the candidates had to say about their handling or potential handling of this disease crisis?
As far as Biden's comments in terms of saying that, well, he is in favor of opening it, and that's kind of a little bit new information. It may be on his website or something like that, but I hadn't really seen him talk about that until last night. In that before he had been sort of suggesting that we need to, you know, keep things closed to a certain extent. But what he's proposing, of course, costs a lot of money. And he, I think, had indicated at some point during the debate that that's the federal government that has the resources to do that. But, you know, at the same token, that's we're already in pretty heavy debt. I don't think it's something that Trump had mentioned last night, but that's basically a concern for a lot of people, although generally more Republicans than Democrats. So it was an interesting exchange, although one of the problems with the whole deal with information with the pandemic is that you get sort of inconsistent messages from various people. And it's one thing to say that, well, we're going to trust the expert or trust the scientist, but they can't all agree because we're still sorting this out to a certain extent.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Greg on the line in Sheboygan. Greg, hi.
Okay. Hello. I think about this the thing about CO2. Now, Trump passed laws so that they could take the ceiling off CO2 emissions. Well, CO2 is a unique molecule. It's got such a strong bond energy that there's no force on the Earth aside from coal formation that breaks it. People think trees do, but they don't. They break the water and they release the oxygen from water. So in essence, we dry out to make oxygen. But we could make alternate energy so easy. Biden just touched on solar and wind, but there's also wave. Give $1 million to somebody who can make wave generators so we could make big reefs of wave generators. We could
gotcha.
Make a
Greg, I think we take your point. Greg, interested in the climate change portion and the alternative energy and fossil fuels portion of the debate. Can you talk a little more about what we heard there, Tim?
Yeah, that certainly there's a big difference between Trump's approach and Biden's approach. And it's more generally, you know, Republicans basically are saying, well, yeah, we'll go ahead and try these other things, but we can't just shut down the others too quickly because that'll hurt the economy. Whereas the Democrats usually want to speed things up a little bit. They're concerned that aside from the climate change aspects to it, that just basically you want to make that shift. One interesting thing that didn't get mentioned last night is sometimes people will say, well, look, if you really want to get away from fossil fuels, why not go nuclear? Well, of course, a lot of people don't want nuclear power for a variety of reasons, but that would certainly alleviate the problem of using fossil fuels and do so in a way that would be a lot faster than trying to develop whatever it happens to be. And certainly the government's already paid a lot of money for things like solar. And of course, here in Iowa, we're heavily invested in wind energy production. But right now, we're still not at the point where that can effectively and efficiently replace fossil fuel. So we've got a ways to go.
Thanks for the call. We are picking apart last night's second and final debate between President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. Tim Hagel is our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What were your takeaways from last night? What stood out to you? Was there something that answered a question you had about one candidate or the other? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation on last night's debate between President Trump and former Vice President Biden. We're talking to Tim Hagel, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What stood out to you? What do you still want to know, if anything, about the candidates? Let's go back to our callers. Mac is on the line in Colfax. Mac, hi. Uh, Oh, your line's cutting out, Mac. Mac had wanted to bring up healthcare, but I'm afraid we can't hear Mac too well. But hey, let's listen to some of the candidates talking about healthcare a little bit. The candidates were asked what they would do if the U.S. Supreme Court winds up striking down the Affordable Care Act. First of all, here's President Trump talking about that.
What I would like to do is a much better healthcare, much better, will always protect people with pre-existing. So I'd like to terminate Obamacare, come up with a brand new, beautiful health care. The Democrats will do it because there'll be tremendous pressure on them, and we might even have the House by that time. And I think we are going to win the House, okay? You'll see, but I think we're going to win the House. But come up with a better health care, always protecting people with pre-existing conditions.
We'll dig into that a little bit. Tim, some Democratic groups or anti-Trump groups have run ads showing the president saying he was about to release a health care plan again and again over the last few years. The criticism that he says they've got a replacement or in the works, but it never quite happens. Is that, what do you think of that line of attack?
Well, it's certainly true. What you're saying is that Trump has promised it for a long time, and there's Democrats are still criticizing him for not having a plan. And the other thing, even though Trump was saying several times in that clip and it's elsewhere that the Republicans will want to keep or protect pre-existing conditions and make that a protection, not lose that. But that's something that Democrats have been hammering Republicans on pretty hard. And one of the places we saw that was in the recent Senate confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett, where most of the Democratic senators brought that up and showed pictures during the hearings of people who had pre-existing conditions and talked about how their lives would change. But Republicans, by and large, have said they want to protect those pre-existing conditions, but it's hard to make that case, I suppose, if you don't have a plan in place or something that people can actually talk about.
And then here's a listen to former Vice President Biden talking about the health care issue.
What I'm going to do is pass Obamacare with a public option, become Biden care. The public option is an option that says that if you, in fact, do not have the wherewithal to be, if you qualify for Medicaid and you do not have the wherewithal in your state to get Medicaid, you automatically are enrolled, providing competition for insurance companies. That's what's going to happen. Secondly, we're going to make sure we reduce the premiums and reduce drug prices by making sure that there's competition that doesn't exist now by allowing the Medicare to negotiate drug prices with the insurance companies.
Now, Tim, correct me if I'm wrong. I dimly remember a public option being in the very earliest efforts at the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and it lasted like 10 seconds before it got jettisoned. Why was that something that was scrapped then, but the Democratic presidential candidate says it's a pretty good idea now?
You know, I don't remember the details of that as to how that plan developed, but my best guess is that it was a matter of negotiating that they were, and not even so much with Republicans, none of whom actually voted for it, but even among Democrats in maybe some vulnerable districts, that there were some negotiation that had to go on, that maybe this was going to cost too much or it was going to seem too much like socialized medicine or, you know, whatever it happens to be. And so they had to cut certain things out to make it more palatable for some of the Democrats. And so it looks like Biden wants to, you know, move in that direction again, or at least try to get it. And if they have a bigger House majority, maybe they can do it and still lose a few people who might be a little skittish about it or in vulnerable districts or something of that nature. But it provides an easy line of attack for Republicans, too, because if Obamacare was that great, why does he need to fix it? And so that's kind of a way that they can attack him on that kind of a plan. Although, you know, with 11 days left, I'm not sure how much they can do in that regard.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Deneen is with us in Madison. Deneen, hi.
Hi there. Thank you.
What did you want to bring up?
I did want to talk a bit about the moment where they brought up, or Kristen Welker brought up the fact of immigration and how, as of like 2 days ago, I believe, they came out with the number of 545 children still not having been brought back together with their parents after 2 to 3 years. They still don't know who these kids, who their parents are and where they are. And when the moderator brought that up to Trump, he immediately went to, well, these kids came over with coyotes. It was obviously not the question. These kids came back. They came with parents. They were separated from their parents. In the last week or two, actually in the last month, some of the reporting that has come out, that Jeff Sessions, Kirstjen Nielsen, people that were in charge of the programs that were in charge of these children at the time, they were saying they wanted to separate. This was the policy. Keep them separated. Take them away from their parents. We don't care.
Thanks a lot for calling in. This issue of immigration and family separation in last night's debate, Tim.
Yeah, and certainly when you're talking about children that are separated from their parents, that really tugs at your heartstrings and makes a good point for the Democrats. Although, first thing you need to ask is, well, what are the ages of these kids? And so if you're talking 16, 17, yes, they're children, but, they're getting a little closer to adult age, as opposed to if you're talking, something under 10, where that's really important and really the kind of thing that people say, oh, this is terrible. I can't verify this because I didn't see the original report, but I saw something indicating that about 80% of that number, 500 plus, were they had apparently actually contacted parents, but the parents didn't want the children to come back to whatever their home country was, that they really wanted their kids to stay in America, hopefully permanently, so that they would have more opportunities. You can sort of see that for parents where, trying to give your kid a better life, get them out of whatever environment that may be not that great in their home country. But on the other hand, from our perspective, when you're separating now, regardless of whether it was done purposefully or intentionally or whatever, but the fact that they're now separated and we'd like to see them back with their parents, how do we deal with that? And we can't just, throw them across the border kind of a thing. And so it's kind of an ongoing problem at least so far, has no resolution.
Thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. Ray joins us now in Milwaukee. Ray, hi.
Very important subject. I wish they would have brought it up, and I guess Trump would have been the one to bring it up, the Iraq War, and Joe Biden voted for it. Hundreds of thousands of Americans left body parts behind in Iraq and also their lives. Million Iraqis dead. That would have been a great subject, and I wish the commentator would have brought it up. And Trump wants to bring the troops home from Afghanistan, and I don't know why that wasn't part of last night's debate.
Ray, thanks for the call. Tim, would that have been a good issue to hear from the candidates on?
Yeah, it would. And originally, apparently, the third debate, what was supposed to be the third debate, was supposed to be on foreign policy, but then the moderator decided to go with some different issues. We did get a little bit of national security, foreign policy, but not enough to bring up issues such as the one just mentioned. And yeah, that would have been something that Trump is in other locations has certainly hammered Biden over his vote in that regard.
Thanks for the call, Ray. We're talking to Tim Hagel, associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa, talking about last night's presidential debate, the second of three, but the last of three, sort of. The second one didn't happen. Tim, I don't ever gamble on politics or make predictions publicly, and it's good because if I did, I would have bet and said that last night's debate wasn't going to happen after the second one was canceled. Were you surprised?
A little bit, yeah. It did seem when they were talking early on, especially after the second one was canceled, like you say, that maybe they just weren't going to agree, and so we were only going to get one debate. And, that might have been okay, but like I said, this debate did seem to give us a little bit more information. The candidates, particularly Trump, seemed to be a more settled, more restrained in his approach, disciplined, some of the words that were used to describe it. And, Biden responded in kind for the most part, but we still get him to mix up a little bit. So it ended up being worth it.
Let's take one more caller. Pat is with us, calling from Highway 57. Pat, hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, the other speaker from Iowa, I spent about 4 months working in the state of Iowa in Cedar Rapids for the flood recovery. And you folks have great potential on the corn liquor or ethanol.
Why, okay, briefly, Pat, we're running out of time. Your thought on the debate.
Okay. Now, about the debate, everything gets talked about the energy and that. Okay. Joe Biden wants to increase the our need less on coal, more on renewable. Okay. Are there plans in place? That's something I wish somebody would have talked about.
Pat, thanks for the call. Pat, not seeing a fleshed out plans here. Tim, do we usually get real well-developed plans in a debate format?
Often not. Sometimes if a candidate knows an issue is going to come up, that they'll have it, or they'll have it prepared on their website, like a white paper or something like that, and they're able to hit the high points in a debate kind of a thing. But you know, usually that's the kind of a thing where they're going to have to develop it later once they get into office.
Thanks for calling in our last minute or so, Tim. What are you watching for now? I mean, Election Day is already happening. People are already voting. But what are you watching for between now and that Election Day?
Well, basically turnout. You know, we're seeing very high turnout, record turnout in terms of early voting, mail-in voting, that kind of a thing. But it may be that just people are shifting their votes, that they would have ordinarily voted in person. This time they're doing it through the early voting. And so we'll have to see if the turnout is actually higher and what that means, because both sides right now are pretty energized. The big question is what those middle voters are. What are they going to do? Are they going to turn out? And if they do, who are they going to vote for?
Tim, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Tim Hagel is an associate professor of political science at the University of Iowa. We talked to him about last night's final debate between President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden.